that we may come together here at convention. And what is your highest motive here? Wouldn't it be, friends, to honor and magnify and glorify God's holy name? We come here together to seek the spiritual food for the inner man that we may grow thereby. And the results would be that we grow in grace and knowledge with our Lord. And this must be pleasing to our Heavenly Father, because we come better acquainted with God. We know Him better. Don't you believe that we ought to become intimately acquainted with our Father in heaven? And yes, it must be done on this side. And as we come together, we become better acquainted with our Father, better acquainted with the Lord Jesus, know Him better, that we may glorify His holy name. And in the 22nd verse of this wonderful prayer, Jesus said, "And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them." Think of that, brethren. The glory that Thou gavest Me, He has given you. What an honor. What a glory. What a privilege it is to be a son of God. Now we the sons of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, for we shall be like Him and see Him as He is. Jesus constantly glorified His Father in all His miracles, in all His works. If you will follow them very carefully, you'll find that He had in mind constantly the Father. The Father, of myself I can do nothing. Always, friends, contrast that a moment with what we read in Matthew 4 and 8. Again, the devil taketh him, Jesus, up in an exceeding high mountain, in the spirit, of course, and he showed him all the kingdoms of this world and its glory. Contrast the glory of this world with the glory that Jesus gave unto you and unto me. What could it be, the glory of this world? Well, as you look about you down here at the end of the age, what do we find? Political glory, financial glory, ecclesiastical glory, glory of war, and false teachings and false doctrines, misconceptions of all kinds. The people are glorying in those things. But how different it is with those who love the Lord and love the truth and walk in the steps of Jesus. St. Paul says in Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made of himself no reputation." Jesus made of himself no reputation. That's right. Are we? Don't try it, brethren. Don't try it. You'll fail. Jesus made of himself no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Who being found in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. No, the Diakon renders that differently. with all being in God's form, yet he did not meditate a usurpation to be like God. Never. But the adversary also, I'll be like the Most High God. Oh, what a contrast. What a lesson for you and for me. On one certain occasion, those 10 lepers appeared. And they were at least 150 feet from the Master. That was the Jewish law. And they cried unto him, Jesus, have mercy upon us. And Jesus, he looked at them, healed them all. All 10. Yes, what a miracle that was. And the throng gathered around him, and Jesus noticed a man at his feet. And there in the dust was a man. Jesus looked at him and he said, that's one of the lepers. That's one of the lepers. Then he said to this man, were there not 10 cleansed? Yes, Master, 10. Jesus said, where are the 9? Where are the 9 today? How many, many have been called, but few are chosen. Why the one? There in the dust of the earth, at the feet of Jesus, where are we today? At the feet of Jesus. We're the feet members of the body of Christ. Remember, this one man rose up and with a loud voice he gave glory to God. This leper, lo, in the dust I would lay me, that the world my Savior might see. Will you do that? Are you willing to do it? Oh, to be nothing, or oh, to be something. Make of yourselves and of yourselves a reputation? No. Only to be nothing, nothing. Only to lie at his feet. A broken and empty vessel. Oh, how pleasing it must have been to God. What is the picture? He rose up with a loud voice. He gave glory to God. What are we doing here? With a loud voice giving glory to God. How loud is that voice that's reaching around the earth? Who's giving it? Lo, in the dust I would lay me. The body of Christ, the feet members, are the ones that are giving it. Friends, I understand the largest broadcasting station in the world, 500,000 watt station, is giving the Frank and Ernest program. The manager told us that it reaches 80 million English-speaking people. Well, if we get 1 million of that 80, it'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? And perhaps we get more. Think of 100,000 watt station in Monte Carlo. Brother Caponanto's here, he could tell you all about it. The results of it. About 50 classes organized in Italy. 2 pilgrims traveling in Italy in the pilgrim language. 50,000 watt station in Luxembourg. Yes, now the message goes into Palestine, brethren, as clear as a bell. Oh, how often we wondered about the message in Jerusalem. It's there. And it's right near the Vatican, too. Although the Pope is canned in the Vatican, still he can hear the message. Claims he's a prisoner. Think of that message going throughout the earth. with a loud voice, calling out and giving glory to God, telling the people about the incoming kingdom, the very thing that they need. And in doing that, friends, we honor, magnify, glorify God. How do we do it? In our bodies and spirits, which are His. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. We have the mind of Christ. As new creatures in Christ, we must have a body to operate in. And the Lord permits us to have this body to operate in. Let us take good care of that body. We glorify God in our bodies, St. Paul said, and I believe it. Well, isn't the body the old man? No. Our dear brother Pollock told you that today. The old man is the old humanity, the old human nature. That's right. Now, friends, you and I have this wonderful privilege to laud and magnify God's holy name. That's our highest motive. It was the highest motive of our Savior and all the apostles. It was the highest motive in the mind of our dear Pastor Russell to laud and magnify and glorify God's holy name. He became a living sacrifice. It hurts to sacrifice, doesn't it? Back in Bible times, it hurt the animal, of course, to be sacrificed. And so sometimes it hurts, too, to be a living sacrifice. But in this, friends, we glorify God in our bodies and spirits which are His. Well, there's many instances in the Old Testament to prove this. I won't call to mind a few of them. But Jesus said in Luke 14 and 8, like this leper, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him, and he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. Friends, I believe all during this gospel age, many, many have had that experience. They're always reaching out for the highest room, making a beeline for the platform. Don't do it. The Lord will exalt you in due time. You don't need to worry about that. But take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. And when he that bade thee cometh, he may say to thee, a friend, go up higher. Now, isn't that the way it's done, brethren? Isn't that God's method and the method of our Savior? Yes. Why is it done in this manner? That we may show forth His praises, who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. To show forth His praises means to glorify His name, means to honor Him. Isn't that right? In Ephesians 1:6 we read, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. How were we accepted in the Beloved? And that's why you're here. And if we lose that, we'll never come back. in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he, God, hath abounded towards us in all his wisdom and prudence. God has abounded towards us in all his wisdom and all his carefulness to select you and select little me before to bring honor and glory to God. That should be our highest motive, otherwise you wouldn't have it. You wouldn't have the truth. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, a mystery that he had in his will, yes, and he did not make it known to anyone else, no one. The cherubim, seraphims, principalities, and powers, no. He didn't make it known unto the angels, not even the Son. Not until the Son came up out of the river Jordan, and then the heavens were opened unto him. Is that right? That's right. And having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, his own good pleasure, not someone else, God's good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. God had purposed this in himself, brethren. He's not asking any leaders. Don't be a leader. I don't care if they ever elect me as an elder. I'd rather take the back seat any time. I've seen so much of this nonsense, I would think that brethren would be careful what they do. Where are they today? They're gone. They don't last very long. Ah, yes, a chosen people. Chosen generation. Jesus said in John 15:8, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Galatians 5:22. But Jesus said in John 15:8, this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. The Lord desires you to bear much fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit, Paul said, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, and temperance. Yes, what does it mean? Self-control. Self-control. That's why the Lord has given us the Christian armor. As Paulic mentioned in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, take unto yourselves the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in this evil day. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the girdle of truth, the sandals of peace, and prayer. Prayer. Without prayer, you can't do it. That's 7 pieces. Each Christian must have the armor on, the complete armor, not part of it. Well, couldn't I lay down the sword? No, that would mean you'd lay down the Bible. You couldn't fight barehanded, could you? You couldn't fight bareheaded, could you? You couldn't fight barefooted, could a soldier fight barefooted, bare-handed, or bareheaded? No. Not the soldier of Christ Jesus either. That's why he supplied this armor. And why is it supplied? To bring honor and glory to God. Grab the girdle of truth. Tie it tight. The girdle is the symbol of servitude. There can hardly be times you wear long, flowing clothing, but they were girded so they wouldn't get into every wind of doctrine. And so let us do the same. Look out for all the winds of doctrine. Okay. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the girdle of truth, the sandals of peace, and the prayer. Prayer. Without prayer, you can't do nothing. That's seven pieces. Perfect. Each Christian must have the armor on. The complete armor. Not part of it. So couldn't I lay down the sword? No, that would mean you'd lay down the Bible. You couldn't fight barehanded, could you? You couldn't fight bareheaded, could you? You couldn't fight barefooted. Could a soldier fight barefooted, barehanded, or bareheaded? No. Not the soldier of Christ Jesus either. That's why he supplied this armor. But why is it supplied? To bring honor and glory to God. Grab the girdle of truth. Tie it tight. The girdle is the symbol of servitude. Back in Bible times, they wore long, flowing clothing. But they wore a girdle so they wouldn't get into every wind of doctrine. And so let us do the same. Look out for all the winds of doctrines today. Take the girdle of truth and honor it. Bring honor to the truth. Not his honor. And he did that. No, that wouldn't be pleasing to the Lord. We should serve the truth. And that requires sacrifice. And that does that mean honor to glorify God's holy name. The fourth chapter of Daniel, we read about a king. And you know this king, because he didn't bring honor and glory to God, there were seven times came upon him, and he ate grass with the beast of the field for 7 years. Remember that now? That's right. It kept him alive. Perhaps it was alfalfa, I don't know. But it kept him alive for 7 years. Well, what all this? Listen. This is the interpretation of King Daniel talking. And this is the decree of the Most High God which has come upon my Lord the King. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. Seven times shall pass over thee, Gentile times. No time to talk about that, though now. Till thou know that thou the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. What a lesson this king learned. But why did it come? Because it didn't bring honor and glory to God. In the New Testament, the 12th chapter of Acts, St. Peter was cast into prison in an old Bible dungeon. There he was chained to soldiers. And there was front returning of soldiers in the watch. While they were all asleep, God sent a messenger down into the prison, an angel. A little light appeared in the prison. Read it again. Great blessing to us. And the messenger touched Peter. Peter was fast asleep. I wonder if I would be fast asleep if I was cast in an old Bible dungeon and chained. So, what do you think about it? Peter was fast asleep. He was now coming to the end of his faith, wasn't he? Ah, yes. The messenger touched him and he said, "Follow thou me." There was a light. Peter, can you see him take his mantle and throw his mantle over his shoulders? But he was chained. Yes, the Bible tells us the chains fell from his feet. I was in one of those dark dungeons too. But the Lord sent a messenger to me, and there was a light. The truth. The truth, brethren. To lead me out of that prison. And you too. That's right. You recognize the messenger that God sent to us? No more value to him, to you. Repudiate his writings. Don't believe it anymore. Where did you get the truth? Friends, let us get our eyes open. We know where we received the truth and how we came out of that old dungeon, but look, there's an iron door. There's an iron door. Another one over here. And the adversary of the devil will say, "Peter, you'll never get out of here. You used to be executed the next day." But what happened? The door opened of its own accord. Peter was outside. That's why you're here today. Because you were brought out of a dungeon. Out of a prison. Tired in that prison with the creeds and traditions of men. Some will say, "Why, brother, haven't you subscribed to a creed now?" No. Who told you that? There's somebody lying about us. Didn't God ask you to subscribe to a creed? No. What did God ask you to do? Nothing. The only thing God ever asked you to do is to show and go to the post office and call for your general delivery mail. Someone might be getting you. I want to get in touch with you for a funeral. Is that a creed? Somebody's lying about us. I hear this all over Canada too. Don't subscribe to a creed, but for us. All these same brethren at one time accepted the truth, and they accepted Pastor Russell as that faithful and wise servant, and I do it today. Because I can prove it with the Bible. Oh, my dearly beloved, let us not be deceived. Let us put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand down here in this evil day. Peter was delivered, and oh, what joy it must have been. That wonderful deliverance. How about the three Hebrew children? Do you remember that? We church are breaking up in the day. They were the furnace. Because they wouldn't bow to an image that old king had set up out in the plains of Dura. No, they wouldn't bow to it. And you know what they said? "Our God, whom we serve." That's noteworthy, isn't it? Let it be upon our lips and our hearts too. "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us." Hasn't he delivered us constantly? Now, if anyone asked me if any of the Canadian brethren are coming down, I said I doubt it. There's two here from Winnipeg, and I'm glad they're here. An old gentleman from Saskatchewan, our brother Philip, said, who has 40,000 bushels of wheat right on his farm in greeneries, and another crop of good wheat coming. I said to him, you and your family could come to Bloomington. Oh, yes, if we could sell the wheat, but I can't sell a bushel. 40,000 bushels in the granary and can't sell a bushel. Why? Because the nations of the earth are coming in the right direction where they can't buy. The seller can't sell, and the buyer can't buy. Because the buyer has no money. The nations of the earth can't buy it. I was over in Mexico just recently, and the Mexican $5 silver piece is worth how much in Canadian money, in American money? 45 cents. $5 in Mexican money is worth 45 cents. Canadian or American money. How much wheat could we buy it for $5? About a peck. Take a carload of wheat to buy a carload of money. Or a carload of money to buy a carload of wheat. There it is. That's the condition that the world is in. Coming like a thief upon the whole world. They're all trapped and there's no way out. What's our duty? To bring honor and glory to God. How can we do it? In our bodies and spirits which are His. Here's an order I want to leave. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or whether you drink, or whatsoever we do, do to the glory of God. That's the biggest order that's in the Bible, isn't it? Whatsoever thou doest, whether we eat or whether you drink, do to the glory of God. We know that, yes, all consecrated hearts know it. Yeah. What does it mean? It means to be careful. Why? Same from the right heart. Do we give our heart to God? Yes. In full consecration? Yes. On each other. We don't have anything back. Now we become steward over everything that you possess. Your farm, your car, your wife, your children, your husband, your bankroll, yes, your talents, your will, you've given that up. Everything that we possess, we give to God. Now we become a steward, and we must give an account of our stewardship. Now keep this in mind, brethren. Whatsoever thou doest, do to the glory of God. Think again. Think what's wrong before you do it. Don't you think that would be pleasing to God? I'm sure you'll agree with me. But that's right. Psalm 29:1. Do not for the Lord always in my way. All the new creatures are mortal. No son of God. Give unto the Lord all your might, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory to His name. The glory that we know to do. That's do His holy name. In our bodies, the spirits which are His. Oh, friends, how wonderful it would be. When we all live, the church in glory. Yes. And then at the end of the millennium, we read And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. The human race will know more about the glory of God. What is the glory of God? That new creation, His masterpiece, takes 2,000 years to find, select, and create that new creation. His the glory of God shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Don't you believe, friends, that this should be our highest motive? I think more of the brethren ought to touch on this. Don't you? Do so much. For hours and hours. To call to mind the glory of God and our highest motive. Point to me, friends. Now remember your prayers, and that'll be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Thank you.
In closing this afternoon service, let us join in singing number 45. Eternal God, Celestial King, exalted be thy glorious name. Rise on the last stanza and be dismissed for brother singing. Number 45.
By the eye of faith, thou art so great and so wonderful. We desire to glorify thy holy name and give us the necessary grace and the necessary strength that we may honor thee more and that we may bring glory to thee. We thank Thee for this prayer of our blessed Redeemer and Savior. We thank Thee, dear loving Father, for His precious sacrifice on our behalf, and not only on our behalf, but also for the sins of the whole world. We thank Thee, Father, for the things that we've heard today, the spiritual food for the inner man, that we may bring honor and glory to Thee, that we may magnify Thy holy name. We thank Thee, dear loving Father, for these brethren that have come so far for the spiritual food, and we pray that they may receive it in good and honest hearts. Now, Father, we pray Thy divine blessing upon us as we partake of the temple things in our visit and our fellowship one with another. We thank Thee, Father, too, for the glorious kingdom and the nearness of that kingdom. We're so thankful to know that Jesus will be Lord over both the dead and the living. Now bless us, Father, for this season, for these moments when we come together this evening. We pray Thy rich, Thy divine blessing upon the further exercises of the day. And we ask it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.